You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That was one from Fever Ray. It was called To the Moon and Back. And before that, we had Jess B. Right now, I've got James Milne, a.k.a. Lawrence Arabia, in the studio here to talk about his upcoming tour, An Evening Alone with Lawrence Arabia. Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. So we're going to start off just with a first question. So you've done these shows in Dunedin and in Wellington. How did they go?
They went increasingly well.
Oh, yeah?
I think the first show in Wellington was kind of almost a bit of a comedy show because of the number of mistakes I was making.
Oh, yeah, so it took a while to kind of get in the rhythm of doing it?
Yeah, a little bit, but I thought my comedy chops were greatly improved. And it was quite good actually finding myself in a situation where I had a huge room full of people and I was cocking up. And it was a really encouraging group of people. So I just sort of got through it and told a few anecdotes about some unfortunate experiences I had as a child doing piano recitals, which didn't work out for me. And it was actually really exhilarating. And they got better and better. I just did it out of necessity, but actually I ended up having a lot of fun doing it. And so I just thought, oh, I'm going to do more of these.
Right, so you got there in the end.
Yeah.
So you'll be all good to go for these North Island ones.
Yeah. I mean, I've been, because normally when I normally do like a solo show type thing about once a year, and it's sort of like guitar and you know, it's a small room and it's conversational and it's fun. But I was starting to be a bit more ambitious with the number of instruments I'm playing.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. So do you perform with like just a guitar, or do you jump between multiple different instruments? And
In the past when I've done solo shows, I just like it to be really casual, and but I thought I'd do something different this time. So I'm playing a couple of keyboards, I've got a drum machine situation, I just got this vocal looping situation happening.
Oh, yeah, nice.
So I can harmonize with myself, and a couple of guitars, so it's actually getting increasingly complex.
Yeah, you're adding in more and more each time.
Yeah, which has the potential for disaster, but hopefully it has potential for at least accidental magic, if not deliberate.
Oh, yeah, nice. And what's it like kind of shaping your songs to be performed in a solo way? Because I know that quite a few of them have like massive arrangements with strings and things like that. What's the writing process kind of changing them into a solo performance?
It's just kind of discovering where the energy lies, because you can create a lot of energy with an arrangement, or if you've got a band playing a song. But I guess when you do it solo, you actually discover where the real energy of the song lies, whether it's in a lyric or in a particular harmonic shift or where the melody goes. So I find myself really bringing quiet bits of the songs down to be, you know, really quiet. And there's this constant battle where you're trying to, you know, maybe there's been a loud bit, and people in a show, if there's a loud bit, people tend to start, you know, having a little conversation with their neighbor. And so I'm kind of like playing this constant game where I'm trying to
keep everyone in the crowd kind of just like on the same level, so that they all talk to so they don't talk to each other.
Yeah, exactly. And like, but so I can bring it right back down. So it's kind of a combination of changing the way the songs work, and also actually playing this kind of game with the audience to just trying to be in charge. I think any good show that you go and see, if you feel like the performer has got you, then that's a great show.
Then you're sorted.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean with a full band performance, you can kind of like dominate that, I guess. You can keep everyone, because it's significantly louder, you can kind of keep everyone kind of locked in, whereas with a smaller performance, with kind of like a solo show, it is that you do find that people can kind of lean towards talking to each other and things like that, which is kind of difficult.
Yeah, totally. It can be more passive in a way as an audience member. This is this big block between the performer and the audience, so I really like that when it gets quiet, you feel like there's no sort of barrier between the performer and the audience.
And when it comes to the set list, are you going to be playing some older songs? Are you going to be playing things from your most recent album, Absolute Truth? Or are you going to maybe play some new songs, anything like that?
It's going to be everything, really. I'm just trying not to play like, you know, in recent band shows, it's just been like play the most,
the hits,
yeah, kind of. Or, you know, the top BFM top 10.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. The crowd pleasers.
Yeah, exactly. But with this show, it's trying to play the songs that I find the most interesting and the songs that bear up to the most, you know, the deconstruction of the solo performance. So, yeah, it's, I think it's, I mean, it's pretty, it's still pretty crowd-pleasy, I think, in terms of what I've been playing so far. But, yeah, I mean, I want it to be a curious, interesting show as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Do you think that you'd ever, like, do a recorded version of these kind of stripped-back songs? Like, would you ever release, like, a stripped-back solo album, something like that? Have you thought about doing that?
Yeah, I have, but the problem is when I'm, I mean, if I'm recording, I just can't resist putting stuff on.
Putting more stuff in.
And I've definitely had people suggest that kind of thing. But when it comes to actually recording, I can't, like, such, I get so much joy out of arranging. And if I write a song or I've always got these counter melodies and bass lines and harmonies running around my head, I can't, like, they always become, almost instantly, as soon as I write a song, I get attached to all of these other little bits of them, which are not, it's not just a guitar and my voice and the main melody, it's like this other counter melody, and there's a, you know, like, basically that just becomes part and parcel of the recording. So for me, if I don't get to hear those, then it's sort of like I'm missing out on part of the song that I've already written.
Mm. Well, where do you know where to stop? This is more of a general question. Like, so you like to keep adding in different pieces, different instruments and things like that. Where do you know where the finish point is? How do you know that that's the end of the song?
It's just a case of making some choices, I think. I mean, it's definitely has the potential to be a never-ending process where you just keep adding stuff. But I think, I mean, you know, I definitely value a recording that captures an essence in a really simple way. Mm. It's just about finding, I think it's just about finding the most interesting sounds as soon as possible, so you can get satisfied with that. Like, I think in some ways doing as little as possible, but in as interesting a way as possible, is probably a pretty good approach. You know, some of the recordings I really love are just, you know, strange sounding recordings with character, but only a couple of instruments. So,
And so for these solo performances, you said that you'd be playing, not necessarily, well, you'd still be playing crowd pleasers, but you're saying that you might try to branch out into some of the less popular ones. Do you find that performing those ones more enjoyable than performing just like the same crowd pleasers over and over?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's actually really exhilarating when people, you know, really respond to a song. Mm. But that said, there's just some songs that that are more interesting to me, and, you know,
as the performer.
Yeah, to perform, and be, you know, maybe it's just because I haven't played them as much. But there's, you know, something to be gained from trying to re-examine them, and especially, like, you know, doing something with vocal loops or using a drum loop or something. It's just like little things I can play around with and try and make these things interesting for myself and hopefully the audience.
Yeah. Okay, so this is moving into the future a bit, but can you tell us about Fabulous Arabia? Because last week the Auckland City Limits lineup was announced, and on the Golden Dawn stage it had this Fabulous Arabia. I'm sure that's you, and I have a guess of who the Fabulous is. But how about you tell us about it, just because I don't want to throw it out there and be wrong.
Right. So Fabulous is Mike Fabulous, who used to play in the Black Seeds, and he plays as Lord Echo now.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, and I think he's got a show coming up next week. Mm. And we released an album a few years ago called Unlimited Buffet, which is basically his music, his instrumentals, and my vocals on top.
Oh, yeah, nice.
So he basically sent me a bunch of instrumentals, and I just wrote melodies on top and made some pretty silly lyrics, some of them, but... But yeah, it was a really fun thing to do. But we've actually been commissioned this time for the Golden Dawn stage at Auckland City Limits. We're doing a set of sort of 70s soft rock covers, like Steely Dan, Jerry Rafferty type stuff.
Just fun ones.
Yeah, because I've occasionally done this night called Come Aboard, which is like a DJ night of... some fairly dubious, smooth 70s soft rock classics. So we're going to basically perform those kind of songs live.
Are you going to be performing just you two on stage, or are you thinking of getting a band behind you?
We've got a six-piece band. So it's Hayden and Tom from my band, and then Ricky Gooch and Toby Lang. So it's kind of like this hybrid.
It's going to be nice.
Yeah, it's a really great band, and we sing harmonies, and it's got a very good rhythm section. So it's, it'll definitely be pretty fun.
Well, how did you and Mike meet in the first place? How did you end up working together?
It was kind of set up by I think it was set up by Paul McClaney, who was my publisher at the time. Mm-hmm. He just I expressed an interest in making some more danceable music because I was getting a bit bogged down in my resolutely unfunky music that I make. And he just had heard some stuff that Mike had been doing, because Mike was just, you know, when he was playing in the Black Seeds, he was just always making little weird kind of lo-fi dinky funk songs and little kind of really quite interesting, just garagey, almost like garagey soul funk pieces. But wasn't really doing anything with them. He just had this huge backlog of and he was, you know, just doing his day job basically. So he he had this huge, you know, like he sent me about maybe 30 or 40 different instrumentals, ended up writing on 10 or 11 of them to make that album.
Awesome. Would you think about ever doing like a sequel one to that? Can we expect something recorded from that, I guess?
We've been getting together recently. We've actually just we're going to do it. We've got a single that we're going to record soon called Henry.
Oh, nice.
And which is actually a reggae song, which is going to be my first
reggae track.
Yeah, which some people may greet with a degree of horror, but I think it's going to be pretty fun. Mike does. His production is really great. It's more of the kind of Studio One ilk. I don't know. I'm just trying to do as many things as possible, really. I'm
branching out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I always find like as soon as I start branching out, I end up it just sort of work breeds work, and I end up doing my own thing as well. As soon as I get really busy doing other stuff, I find myself writing
your own stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, whenever I've got the energy, I just try and do as many things as possible.
Which is right now.
Yeah, I'm very energetic at the moment.
Yeah, what are you thinking of this tour? Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I mean, I was sort of coming out of that winter hibernation and period and was feeling pretty, as people, you know, do in winter, pretty kind of low in general. But as soon as I started playing those shows, it's just like that energy was quite exciting. So, and I can feel the warmth coming back into my body.
Too far away.
Yeah, people have got a little bit more of a smile on their face, and there's like the prospect of swims and, you know, in the not too distant future. So yeah, I mean, I'm very excited about it, and doing, you know, a bunch of Auckland shows is gonna be great.
Yeah, no, it should be good. Well, thanks very much for coming in.
Yeah.
If you want to catch Lawrence Arabia, he's gonna be playing. I've got all the dates here. He's gonna be playing at the Titirangi RSA on Tuesday next week, and then a couple more shows in Auckland. Two at Golden Dawn on the 14th and the 15th, and then he's gonna be playing at the Vic Theatre on the 21st of November. But if you're anywhere else, there's shows in Hamilton, Rotorua, Tauranga, Gisborne, and Hastings. So if you're anywhere, you can catch him for an evening alone with Lawrence Arabia. Thanks very much for coming in, James.
You're welcome.
We're gonna play a track from your most recent album. This one's called "The Palest of Them All."
Pale refugees from awful life.
was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.